This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I think Justin, I think we lost him. We Justin lost LeBar, Justin. What's going on? It's May 22nd. He's back.
I was banned from the podcast.
Okay. Fair enough.
The EVP's got you.
EVP's got me. Waiting for TK to drive me in here. It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It is the AEW Dynamite Post Podcast here on Wrestling Inc. I am Justin LeBar, back on Wednesday. It's been a while since I've been here on Wednesday, being joined by a regular partner in crime of mine here on Wrestling Inc. Podcast. He is the referee extraordinaire of 20 plus years. He is Mr. Jimmy Corderas, and being joined, I always love when I get to do this. Don't get to do it every week. It's a nice surprise. Mr. Flobo Boyce. Flobo, how are you doing tonight?
Man, fantastic. I said before in the remote recording, it's a banger show, banger pod. Happy to be here.
Awesome.
We appreciate having you here. Jimmy, what's going on north of the border?
Yeah, heat wave, brother. Heat wave. This is crazy. We go from snow to 90 in no time flat.
Well, the important thing is you have no snow to shovel. That's the important thing.
Exactly. You don't have to shovel heat. We shovel a lot of things up here, but never mind.
Well, what we will get into is we have some news to talk about. Of course, we have AEW Dynamite from Bakersfield, California. It is the go-home show to Double or Nothing, which is this Sunday. So a lot to talk about. Of course, we'll take your comments as they come through. Super chats get priority. We appreciate that as always. Let's start with some news, gentlemen. In the world of AEW, they have changed the date of All Out this year in 2024. That's right. Originally, it was going to be on September 1st, which we've seen them do in past years, that they like to saddle up on Labor Day weekend here in the States, but they have moved it to a week later to Saturday, September 7th. So they're going from I believe, a Sunday to a Saturday. That Saturday is also going to be, I believe that is the NFL kickoff weekend. So a lot going to be going on, but moving a week later, also key to note that All Out being moved to September 7th moves it just a little bit further away from All In Wembley. Flobo, your thoughts on this change of schedule for one of AEW's staple shows?
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. I think they did it last year. I think WWE had something similar in 2020 with SummerSlam and Payback being 6 days apart. But yeah, you always want to have some breathing time creatively. But in AEW's case, because these are pay-per-view events, you give your fans at least one more pay period to put money aside to check it out. So it's always good all around.
Yeah, Jimmy, I reacted positively as soon as I read this, but from all facets, separating it from Wembley, especially moving it from Sunday to a Saturday. I think now WWE has got us all spoiled. We love seeing Saturday shows where we don't have to worry about an early Monday morning. What say you to this?
I think it's very interesting. Like you guys said, separating those two pay-per-views gives time for the first pay-per-view All In to breathe. And obviously, we've been critiquing that AEW doesn't allow stuff to breathe at times. And having almost back-to-back weekends of pay-per-views, that would be the case in this. So I like the fact that they're stretching it out a little bit and trying it out on a Saturday, giving that a shot, maybe helping increase their numbers because it's working for the other guys. Hey, why not? If the formula works for you too, do it, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So good news there. I think, you know, not often you can find something in the wrestling world that most all fans react positively to, but I haven't really seen any negative from anybody with this. So we'll see how it all plays out timeline wise, but it looks good on paper. Somebody who's probably not going to be wrestling at All In or All Out or much of anywhere over the next so many months, Eddie Kingston. Of course, we know that he got injured at the New Japan show over a week ago. Of course, that had them forced them to pull him out of the Anarchy in the Arena and get replaced by Darby Allin. Well, unfortunately for Kingston, it looks like things are worse than originally thought. At first, it was a diagnosis of a fractured tibia. Now, a report from PW Insider says that it's far worse. It looks like he's suffering tears to the ACL and meniscus in his knee. That's going to probably put him out easily at 9 months or longer for a recovery period. And Kingston has confirmed this. He did give a quote to PW Insider saying, quote, "This is part of the game. Injuries happen. I will be back." Jimmy, I mean, you hate to see injuries. You hate to, you know, Father Time jobs to nobody. So every month in your career, you miss out and you get a little bit older. That's closer to the end in your career. So hate to see Eddie Kingston, who obviously has had some of his highlights of his career in AEW, is going to be part of a major main event here, Double or Nothing, and the news just got worse there for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you hate to see anybody get injured. It is part of the game, and that's, you know, that's an unfortunate reality of this business. But at the same time, you have to be careful. Obviously, the elevated risks that they're taking nowadays, you're upping the ante when it comes. You can get injured on a simple look at CM Punk tore the tricep just on the DDT from Drew McIntyre, and they're elevating that risk factor a lot, but you have to think it out. Did you see, I saw the video of the,
oh, it's bad. Yeah.
Like, come on. You have to be aware that that space between the ring apron and the barricade is not, you know, favorable to produce a suplex off the side and having the table there, you know, as well. It just, so you got to think, you got to be smarter than that sometimes. Yes, you want to elevate the risk. You want to implement a table. Find a different way to do it. It's as simple as that sometimes.
Yeah, Flobo, one thing that I took away from this, obviously we can all agree, injuries suck. Wish the best for Eddie and his rehab. The thing that kind of bothered me about this, especially because you have a guy here in Eddie Kingston who's part of the hottest story in AEW. He's part of Team AEW trying to defend the company's honor. And right. He gets hurt. Not in an AEW show.
Sure.
I know the attractive thing with Tony Khan is he allows some freedom more so than most other companies do, specifically WWE, to the talent. But there's always that risk of if you're letting them wrestle elsewhere, that's your investment that could possibly get hurt elsewhere when they're not even making money for you on that particular show. What were your thoughts to the injury? What were your thoughts to it being at a non-AEW show? Does it matter at all?
Yeah, I totally understand when a company would say, look, when you're signing with me, you're an exclusive talent because we have to protect you. But I also like the fact that Tony was able to disrupt that idea when launching it. Now, it's the worst possible scenario. Nobody wants to get injured. Eddie Kingston's a fantastic talent, but he has a sense of authenticity that goes beyond the ring. So if I was Tony, I would say, look, you can't wrestle for me, but you can be on commentary. You can manage. You can do promos. You can do backstage stuff. We really want your energy here. So it's not really a net loss, not a total loss, but it is a net loss because you're right. Father Time always goes over, brother. And when you lose a year on the shelf, you won't get that back.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I get it. New Japan, you know, a working relationship with AEW. So it's not like he was just working for some mom and pop, mm-hmm. but still, you know, it's something of a risk.
And really quickly. Yeah. The other thing too is yes, it's nice of Tony Khan. It's a good thing that he allows his talent to go elsewhere and, you know, apply their trade because that's what they want to do because guys want to be in the ring. They want to, you know, perform. That's their life. That's in their blood. But at the same time, that's one of the issues I have with AEW is they don't do house shows. So the guys don't get those reps in. And when you only work like one night, maybe two nights a week, you know, you don't develop the bump calluses, as they call them. You know what I mean? You know, right. you know what I'm talking about, guys. So they need to get those reps in and they have to go elsewhere to find them. And that's where the danger comes in of getting injured when you're not on their dime. Like you guys said.
Yeah, I mean, over 150 talents I think they have signed, and there's only so much TV time to go around in a week. So, all right, somebody else who, again, looks like we won't be seeing around AEW for a while or maybe ever again, kind of cryptic, but this is Danhausen. Danhausen posting on Instagram a kind of a cryptic message, picture of himself, and it's captioned, "I answer to none. I belong nowhere. I believe in nothing except myself." I don't think we've seen Danhausen on TV, I want to say, since maybe late last year, like December. Obviously far more of a character than ever, beyond any much of in-ring work that he did. He was just, a very internet popular viral character with his shtick. Jimmy, thoughts on Danhausen? We have seen AEW here recently let some wrestlers go. Or at least not renew their contracts, I should say. What's your take on this cryptic caption?
It's interesting. Obviously the message is out there. I think it's plain as the nose on our faces that he's actually not a part of AEW right now. And yes, he does have that cult following, and he has developed a character that people are gravitating towards. Now the goal is to do something like a Matt Cardona, get it out there, get it viral, get people talking about it on a big platform. Cause Matt's the one who says now that, he's making more money now working the indies and selling his merch than he had in his entire time at WWE. So it's possible to make some really good money out there for him. And as long as he puts the work in and puts that effort in to do it, he has the character development right down. He's got something that connects with an audience. He's got that cult following to begin with. Now it's time for him to go out there, work, and grow that.
Flobohausen, thoughts on Danhausen?
I think this is a symptom of a bigger problem in wrestling. I know. Let me take my little like tinfoil hat on. Look, I like the in-ring stuff. I love everyone is a badass these days, but I'm kind of missing some of the variety show stuff, some of the humor. When Danhausen was signed, AEW needed that bit of levity, especially between these intense promos and feuds. Not saying you should go out there and have a pie in his face or turn to R-Truth, but Very Nice, Very Evil was fun and something you kind of need. And so when you have this talent like that who walks away, he's very capable in the ring, but that kind of talent can make it laugh and still have it make sense in this universe, and they walk away and you don't have anything to replace that. I wonder about the prospects of the show moving forward. So it's a terrible loss for AEW, but hopefully they can recover on both ends.
Yeah, Flobo, when I saw this post, and I'm assuming this means that he's not with AEW anymore. His contract probably naturally ran out. What struck me was, obviously AEW is so, it's their shtick now, or not their shtick, it's their tagline. We're the best wrestle. Again, when we talk about Danhausen, we talk about all the other stuff. We talk about the character work. We talk about the catchphrases, the comedy, the look. Right. He's not somebody who's necessarily having the 5-star bangers. I wonder if that goes into not keeping him around, as in, the character stuff's fun and whatever, and some people like, he's not going to contribute to the we're the best wrestle part of our mission statement. And I wonder if that's where this comes in here.
Sure. I mean, that's kind of wrestling's problem in general. And I don't want to drag any company because everyone's made more money than I'll ever do in this sport, right? Because we were kids, the athleticism was there, but not on the level we have now. So it's very easy to fall in love with movesets. But I remember growing up where Rick Martel put cologne in people's faces. And that was enough. Right, but we really don't have characters like that now, and we'll see that with today's episode, because every challenger that was there was pretty much a guy who can wrestle, and that's great, but it becomes noise over time. So when you have someone like Danhausen who can wrestle but still be different enough and have his own different looking merch, you hold on to that until you can build around him.
Absolutely. So we wish the best to Danhausen. Hopefully he gets opportunities and has he was doing well in the independent scene prior to AEW. Hopefully if AEW raised his stock in any bit to people, hopefully he gets a nice run on the indies and can make some good money on the merch and take some pictures and all the good stuff. Just a reminder, we at the end of this episode, towards the end of it at least, the three of us will make our predictions for Double or Nothing that is this Sunday. So make sure you stick around for that. We'll give our final calls. And then after Double or Nothing happens this Sunday, Jack Farmer and Flobo Boys, they will be hosting both a King and the Queen review show on Saturday and a Double or Nothing show on Sunday. So the gentlemen, Flobo and Jack, have the wheel this weekend at the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and they will be giving you all the immediate reactions to both WWE's PLE and AEW's pay-per-view. So be sure you're subscribed here to the Wrestling Inc. channel so you do not miss it on whatever platform you prefer. All right, gentlemen, let's get into Dynamite tonight. Again, the go-home show. At times you would know it, at times you wouldn't. But let's go piece by piece here. We're in Bakersfield, California, kicking it off with Orange Cassidy and Will Ospreay up against Trent Beretta and Roderick Strong. Now, this is a very classic formula. Each of these sides have one-on-one matches coming up on Sunday, so it's a way to kind of pair them together, give a little preview and tease for Double Nothing. A lot of chaos, because we also have Undisputed Era out there with Roderick Strong. Chaos going on. Don Callis is on commentary and he's recruiting, or so he says. Cassidy's part of his family, so he's out there. Wardlow eventually hits Will Ospreay on the ramp. He appears because he didn't come out with the rest of the group initially. Finally, Roderick Strong gets the pin on Orange Cassidy, and then post-match beatdown number one is they attack Will Ospreay with the belt, and boy, do they nail him. Apparently, some piece of the belt must have really grabbed him, because Jimmy, he was bleeding almost as much as the blood that falls from the rafters later. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but good Lord, was he busted open here on this. Crimson mask, as JR would say.
It was a crimson mask. He hit him in the sweet spot, that's for sure. It was a fun opener. The tag match, I was fine with it. I was expecting the Gaga at the end. You know, it's a simple formula that seems to happen quite frequently on the programming, not only every week, but almost every match. But, you know, I think it served its purpose to a certain extent. I am interested in Trent and OJ at the pay-per-view, but more on a weird, cryptic matter. We'll get into the predictions later, but I want to see how they go about who's going to go over and why. Reasons. I need to have reasons. And the the ref distractions were a little bit much in this one. I can't help it.
At one point, it looked like Bryce was trying to German suplex a wrestler. At another point, three guys were like grabbing his ankle. What was going on here?
You know what? The guys grab your ankles, ring the bell, eject them from the ringside. I don't know what you got to do, but something else has got to be done. The referee distractions are just, they're mind boggling to me. I don't get them. And it took away from me from a fun tag team match that we had.
Yeah, Flobo, like I said, this is a very old formulaic thing to do. Just put two guys together against their opponents that they're going to have coming up. What did you think of this match? And did this do anything to help or hurt either of these singles matches coming up Sunday? Orange Cassidy versus Trent Beretta, or Will Ospreay versus Roderick Strong?
I think Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy have very low expectations, right? I think they're both pretty serviceable, and it was even billed as a straight-up wrestling match. So I can't say help or hurt. It's kind of it in the mix there, right? Mm-hmm. It's a 5 out of 10. But I look at that Will Ospreay situation, and I understand that, hey, look, man, color is part of the business, and it happens. But he got busted open so hard. He looked kind of weak afterwards. I'm like, I'm not sure he can win. I know 50-50 booking says they beat up on the show, in the go-home show, they get the comeuppance on the weekend, but I'm starting to wonder about Ospreay's long-term prospects if he folded like that today.
This is the second week in a row that we've gotten some vicious blood in the face. This week it was this belt shot to Ospreay. Last week, and they showed it tonight, last week with Swerve, he had blood just shooting out like a geyser. Where the best wrestle and bleed
I guess they were trying to outdo Eddie Guerrero in that match with JBL that time, where the ring was just splattered. It was insane.
Free TV, I guess.
Wild. It was wild. Right when the belt shot happened, and then we get the first close up. My 6-year-old son happened to walk down into the man cave and to say goodnight to me, and he looks at the TV and goes, "Whoa!" He could not believe what he was seeing. I don't think he's ever seen that much blood. That was a wild moment. All right, so we'll get back to both of these matches in our predictions. So sit tight for that. We got our first sighting of the night of the Young Bucks, and they have their personal security, and they are handing out flyers to make sure Darby Allin remains barred from the building. We acknowledge and commentary acknowledges that Darby is in Bakersfield, California, but he is barred from the building. So more on that. We'll get back to that as we go. All right. Bang Bang Gang promo. Jay White is trying to tell the three things of where Pac or Pac has messed up against him, but I was distracted trying to follow along the three things when Jay White and the Gun Boys couldn't figure out if it's Pac or Pac. This all then leads to Pac coming out. He brings out Penta and Rey Fénix, and ultimately they make a challenge for Double Nothing for a 6-man tag. Flobo, this kind of I mean, this kind of felt like you're burying your opponent, that it's not even worthy to have his name pronounced correctly.
I get it that you're trying to make fun of him, but like, he's been on the roster for so long, Pac-Pac, you know what I mean? The fact you're doing this now makes you look dumb. The crowd got into it, and you can say the line, because I'm not allowed to say the line on the show anymore, because they said that we can't say any naughty words on a wrestling podcast, but mm-hmm. It was kind of a miss from day one. Jay White's fantastic. I'm not denying this. I just don't understand this Bang Bang Gang, I guess, official thing. I think it's pretty much run its course. Nobody was on board with them with their humor. Nobody was on board with the promo. And of course, Penta had to say that whole segment. So to me, my least favorite segment of the night, but at the same time, it's like you've done your opponent no favors by burying him right before your matchup this weekend.
Yeah, Jimmy, thoughts on the promo and they add this match. So going into tonight on Dynamite, I believe we had eight. Yeah, we had eight matches on the card going into tonight. I thought that was perfectly fine. I know Double Nothing's like their big, that's their anniversary show. Right. Eight's fine. They decided to add two more tonight, and we still have Collision to go, so who knows what might happen there. They're just determined to make this, I know the argument in response to me is, well, you getting more bang for your buck, but at some point I think it starts to dilute and hurt the main event, the thing that goes on last. But I'm rambling on my soapbox here. Thoughts on this entire promo and this added match?
I thought it was interesting. I thought it didn't serve its purpose, because Jay White's supposed to be a heel, right? Am I wrong here? Jay White's supposed to be a heel, but he's doing that like you Pac and stuff, and people are digging it. They're laughing along, so they're getting to like him. So it's not what a heel does. I get he was trying to make fun of Pac, but it kind of was counterproductive. If he's trying to be that obnoxious, like goofball heel, it didn't work, in my opinion. Because when he went out there, he got cheered, and that was not the goal here. If he's continuing to stay a heel, in my opinion. But other than that, it was there. Again, yeah. It, a little convoluted, as you guys said, but that was my main takeaway. That, the crowd was behind him. He is good. Like you guys said, he can go, he can talk, he can do it all. It's just now people are starting to like him, which is counterproductive.
Nice touch by the Bang Bang Gang with the tailgate wagon to put all of their title belts in gold to get to the ring.
Little things.
Yeah. Well, and I like commentary even mentioned. They're like, they're the Unified Trios title. They don't have to carry all the belts. They're just...
Well, yeah, fair enough.
So it's kind of that is an obnoxious heel move. I think that's kind of fun. So very good. So another match to add to give predictions to here in a few moments.
I can hear that it's staying. Like, oh man, okay. How are you doing?
At least somebody's keeping track.
Well, and yeah. The thing is, it's not even like, again, I feel like this is, I mean, and mind you, I'm a huge Penta fan. I admitted on Busted Open this past Sunday how the first time I saw Penta live, he made a little trickle go down my leg almost.
Flexing.
Yeah.
He made me pee myself, Flex.
He did. I was at the Lucha Underground LA. I was like, oh my God, what is this guy?
That's better than someone else having it going on your leg, but that's a story for another time. Never mind.
We're a kid show.
But it's like, I don't like, do we need this match? Like, you already have a really good card. Do we need this match? Unless this is going to be put into like the pre-show buy-in thing. That's it. Do you need the match? Nonetheless, we're going to have the match. So we will talk about the match later. All right. We got a FTW Eliminator match with FTW champion Jericho on commentary. It is Hook versus Brian Keith versus Shibata. Now, on paper, I like all three of these guys in the ring. I'm a fan of all three. I like Hook. I like Brian Keith. I like Shibata. So I like on paper. I hate the Eliminator concept. That's just me. But we get this match, but a creative finish here, Jimmy, as the referee, is we have Hook with like a rear naked choke and then Shibata down on the legs, both applying submission holds to Brian Keith, making Brian Keith tap while he is simultaneously getting the submission moves done by two guys. So ultimately, it is deemed that both Hook and Shibata win, and they will both take on Chris Jericho and what will be a triple threat FTW match at Double or Nothing. Of course, Jericho playing off on commentary that this is all so great, but obviously has a big nervous chuckle in the whole thing. What did you think of the finish specifically, especially coming from referee?
I liked the finish. I thought it was different. I thought it was unique. And I just didn't like where it went after that. It was that typical, here we go. Yeah, we're going to have a three-way match. It was a way to get to a three-way match to accomplish whatever goal they're going to accomplish at the pay-per-view with the finish there. What I would have preferred was to see them go into, you know, whatever it is, five more minutes. Since you guys declared both winners, we need one challenger for the championship, just one, and have them battle it out and go for it. And then you have the screwy finish. That's where you can get even more creative and have some kind of interference. Big Bill comes out and cleans house, something along those lines. And then you find out later on whether it is on Rampage. Well, don't do it on Rampage, but maybe Collision is a better chance of doing it. And then that's where you announce your three-way match instead of doing it. Oh, just guess what? Hey, I just got a text from Tony, you know, or either that, or that's where you need an authority figure to come out. No, we're not having any of this. Chris Jericho, you know, this is going to be a three-way match. Deal with it, or something along those lines. It was a nice finish, but the aftermath, I hate putting it that way because it wasn't really physicality, but what they did afterwards to me fell flat.
Flobo, do you like this being a triple threat match between Hook, Shibata, and Jericho, or would you have preferred a one-on-one match with one of those individuals against Jericho?
It's a hard call because any other story, if wrestling was a novel, I would say, no, it has to be Hook versus Jericho, but I don't think Learning Tree has got full fermentation, and I'm not sure if I want to see that end quite yet. I know I'm in the minority here, so I understand it being a triple threat match. I don't like the double submission myself personally. I'm not knocking the reason they did it, but like a double pin, you can say it's fast. It's 3 seconds. It was my hand there first. But if I see someone choking up my opponent, I go, well, let me join in. Why would I not break that up, right? Yeah. And give me a chance to get the same guy. Brian Keith is okay. He's great. He's going to be in those categories where he'll get heated up just to be buried. I get that. But as it is right now, I think for this weekend, I will only see Shibata on the card. So this way it gets him there. I'm happy.
Yeah, I'll be watching this closely because I got to figure, again, always a triple threat. There's always room to protect somebody who does not end up walking out with a win. I'd have to imagine that somebody would, I mean, I think it would be Hook, right? If Jericho's still going to remain the FTW champion, you're not going to, they seem committed to Hook. They really do. Mm-hmm. So I would think that this would be a way to, unfortunately, Flober, for you, to see Shibata taking the pin here.
And I know this sounds kind of redundant, especially in AEW, in a three-way match, that means there's no disqualification, so.
This is correct, and you have Big Bill, the Big Bill factor, so keep that in mind. Beer Money has a question. He said, did Jericho announce a three-way before Tony could say it on commentary? Tony kept trying to chime in. Also, the graphic 10 seconds later has got to stop. Yeah, Tony Schiavone was trying to say, he was like motioning, looking at his phone, and he was trying, but Jericho did say to TV and the live crowd that it'll be a three-way, and then Tony Schiavone kind of confirmed it, that he got a text from TK, as he said. And then the other graphic was immediately up. I understand the graphic thing is like a little unrealistic, but I'm fine with it because, again, especially when you're just days away, get it up immediately, be loud about it, let everybody know here's the match. I'm fine with it. It's kind of that thing of like when you call somebody out and like they happen to be right near the curtain immediately. I understand there's a little lack of realism, but I think there's some things you just have to kind of say, what's the better choice for television? The better choice for television is to get them out there, not to have us waiting around 90 seconds for them to jog the entire arena to get out there. It's like, that's where you have to bend a little wrestling, logic, in my opinion. Also, shout out in that same sequence there as they're showing Jericho. Everybody called this. I just pop for this kind of stuff. Tony Schiavone's there in the background. You have an entire table full of this Ric Flair Woo energy drink, and Tony Schiavone grabs his drink. It's a Monster Energy.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Oh, I missed that one. Oh.
Yeah. Super kick.
Nice. Just one of those funny product placement things. Thank you, Jay Harris. Good to be back
here. Lapar section.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. What we got next? All right. Takeshita with Don Callis up against Matt Sydal. This pretty much a squash match, as it should be. Takeshita gets the win. This of his match this Sunday against John Moxley, where it is a IWGP World Heavyweight Championship eliminator match. Meaning, if Takeshita can beat champion Moxley in this non-title match, he will get a title match in the future against whoever the champion be, whether it's Moxley or somebody else. Mm-hmm. So Takeshita gets the win, gentlemen, and then John Moxley comes out and with one stiff microphone punch drops Takeshita. So we've seen the microphone to Jericho's head, which made Jericho bleed, I believe, last week. We've seen did Jack Perry hit Tony Khan with a microphone in the stomach?
It was a loaded mic shot.
So this microphone is quickly becoming one of the deadliest. I expect this to be in the AEW video game for all purposes. Flobo, your thoughts on this?
I mean, look, man, we talk about Takeshita. We want to see that. We want to see Mox. That microphone is pretty loaded. I want to see that also. Can the microphone main event double or nothing this weekend? It was great. Kind of a means to an end. It was a good time filler thing because I didn't think my title had a chance. But hey, look, you know, if you got Mox, he's still one of the few guys getting organic reactions and people singing his music. You got to find a way to put him in the card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jimmy, this was post-match beatdown number two.
Yeah, but it was short and sweet. It wasn't elongated. Yes, Takeshita did lay the boots to Matt Sydal. Moxley's music hit. He came out really quick. Crowd reacted, like you guys said. Came in, didn't cut a long-winded promo, didn't have to. Like a badass, he grabbed the mic, the loaded mic. I don't know what it was. The one of the two most dangerous moves in wrestling, hitting someone with a mic in the small package. So, bam, hits him with the mic, and then he just says, plain and simple, I will see you at Double or Nothing, and then drops the mic. That's it. And got the reaction that was desired. Yeah. Sweet and simple. Sometimes keep it simple, stupid.
Yep, very straightforward.
Gian Moxley.
Very straightforward. All right.
Well, can now I chime in real quick, by the way? I don't want to go back, but I want to say that Willow Nightingale has been killing Mercedes on the promos. Killing her!
Mm-hmm. We'll drop that in. We will get to that when we get to the matches and we do our prediction. Because yes, that was one of the matches tonight that was not, nothing happened live in front of the crowd tonight. It was all video package, which probably for Mercedes Moné is for the better at the moment. We will get to that. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. All right. We got our AEW World Champion, Swerve Strickland. He goes up against Nick Wayne. Now it's wild because less than a year ago, he basically, you know, it was like a dateline, and he crashes Nick Wayne's house and school and just leaves him bloodied and massacred. And here we are less than a year later, and roles are completely swapped here as Swerve as the Overleg Rover babyface world champion up against Nick Wayne, who's part of the Dastardly group led by Christian. This match, very entertaining, probably my favorite match of the night. Worth even watching too, into picture in picture if you wanted to pay attention to it. They these guys were rolling. Should Swerve be in that much of a competitive match? That's a whole other thing, but it is what it is. So I thought this was a very entertaining match. Fun little spot. He takes off his belt. Swerve is not his title belt, but his belt to hold up his tights, and he's whipping Nick Wayne, giving him a spanking in the ass. I think I can say ass. Swerve wins. We get post-match beatdown number three, but this was at least, I think, the most entertaining of the ones tonight. So Swerve wins. Killswitch attacks. Swerve then betters Killswitch, all while Christian's tending to Nick Wayne. Now Christian realizes, oh, crap, I got to deal with Swerve. Swerve chases him all the way to the parking lot. Christian commandeers a car, and then as he tries to speed away, Prince Nana returns and cuts him off. And now Christian is stuck, and he and Swerve go at it. Swerve beats him up a little bit in the car. Christian does escape just in time before he gets before he would have gotten concertoed on the hood of the car. Flobo, this to me, you know, it's part of, I guess, the three main events they have at Double or Nothing. It's not going to be the last match. I don't feel like Swerve's had the best treatment since he's become champion.
Right.
Which I think was the right call for him to become champion, mind you. But I thought this was, for me, this was the most entertaining maybe part of the show of the entire night.
And that's why it's so tragic it's not going on at 9:55 p.m., right? Like, I understand you don't have the champion every week, but this was a main event segment. And for your champion, who hasn't had a lot of main event exposure, ironically, since becoming champion, this should have been on later. And it kind of makes a disservice that he's top of the hour. But that said, I loved it. I loved Christian. Like I said on Twitter, his signing is paying dividends back to the character work we're doing. Prince Nana showing up, not doing much, but having enough impact to put the tide of the tables back in favor of Swerve. It was good top to bottom.
Now, Jimmy, if this was WWE booking a little over 2 years ago and then everything behind that, so in the Vince McMahon way of booking, if this was WWE booking, Swerve, while he didn't get the concerto on Christian, he got the better of Christian. He outsmarted Christian. He had Nana there to cut him off. That booking philosophy would say that Swerve stood tall tonight on the go-home show. Do you have any feeling or vibe? And I know we're going to do predictions later, but what do you feel going into this match here? Like, are we, is there a real possibility that just a month later that Swerve could be in danger of losing his world title?
I really don't think so. If that were the case, if it was old Vince booking, then he would have laid out Christian.
The other Canadian.
Yeah. He would have laid out Christian, and Christian wouldn't have got up or that sort of thing. He escaped.
Yeah.
He did escape relatively unscathed other than the DDT on the top of the SUV. But it's not happening. It's not happening this Sunday. So, but to all those points that Flobo made, yes, you guys said the match was a decent match, but I don't think it needed to happen the way it did. Swerve hasn't been, they have been doing no favors to Swerve since he's won this title. The booking of Swerve has been baffling to me, because here's a guy who's got it all. Here's a guy who could be your main event guy. Like you said, Flobo, at the top of the, you know, go at the end of the show, he's your guy. Treat him like such. It's like he's put in these matches. Yes, I get it. Nick Wayne is associated with Christian, but again, have that match last week and then just do what you did tonight in the post-match stuff tonight to set up for Sunday. You didn't need the match tonight, and to have Nick Wayne get so much offense on him. And not only that, as Swerve is selling, he's walking around cocky like he's, you know, I'm the man. Look what I'm doing. No, if you're going to get a big dude like that down, go to town. Don't give up. That was the part of the philosophy in the match that I didn't like. But he got too much offense, and Swerve should have just not manhandled him completely like the Keshna did tonight, but at least not so much offense from Nick Wayne. He showed too much offense for my liking, mm-hmm. especially for a world champion that has to look dominant going into the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Again, we will get back to Swerve and the our official predictions here in a little bit. I want to talk about Christian, though, for just a second. I'm curious. I was thinking about this the other day. I haven't said this at all on the air, so I'm going to volley it to YouTube.
Oh, breaking news?
Oh, not breaking news. Just inside the mind of LeVar here. You know, I would say this. We've seen over the last 5 years of AEW, we've seen no shortage of names that Tony Khan has signed who were WWE regulars, and some of them legends or staples. And of course, there's sometimes it was kind of, we make fun of like the big announcement that Tony Khan has, the big signing, and like, you know, don't do that because you're setting up too high of an expectation. I remember when Christian was the big flavor of the week that the AEW signed. And I feel like out of, you know, even though they don't wrestle, when Paul White and Mark Henry were signed, they were both shocking because you could have seen them being WWE lifers. One, because they had been with WWE for 20 plus years, and you could just, I at least me, saw them as being, they're just transitioning into, again, behind the scenes roles, trainers, what have you. So when they signed with AEW, and it wasn't public knowledge that they were even not with WWE anymore, that was shocking, you know. But then we've seen other ones over the time where it was like, you know, it was a big deal when Malakai Black showed up, right? Oh, Vince totally missed the whole idea with Aleister Black. Now Malakai's here. Oh, he missed the Rusev Day. Now we got Miro here. And I know there's many more than I'm. It's Soraya. We got Soraya. She's got her neck right. She's back again. You know, Christian, I felt, was a little bit like a little under, like everybody's like, Christian, like, is his best days behind him? What's he going to do? But I kind of feel like as we sit here now, approaching Double or Nothing 2024, aside from John Moxley and aside from Bryan Danielson, Christian has maybe been has delivered the most out of any of the WWE formers that have come over. Flobo, thoughts?
Yes, because you're preaching to the choir, because Christian's on my all-time list. And I even in the Edge and Christian days, I knew Christian had more time in the ring. Christian had more of the character work. Reeks of Awesomeness was a Christian line at first. So I'm with you, but the Outwork Everyone era, everyone didn't think it because it was another big announcement. We go, oh, that guy's half a tag team. But what I was saying at the top of the show about the importance of humor, right? We all got on board with Christian being a dastardly heel, doing the whole father stuff, generated the memes, and found a way to extend his career through his character work. He doesn't have to do much today. Today he came out, got knocked around, and walked away, but you want to see this matchup now. You can't teach that, to use someone else's phrase, and that's what makes him so golden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jimmy, your thoughts on Christian's run? I know, again, fellow Canadian friend of yours. I think it's maybe my expectations were disrespectfully low to him, but he has gone far and beyond my expectations in AEW.
I think he's gone far and beyond a lot of people's expectations because, like you said, he's been associated with Edge so long as a tag team that the people, that's how they remember him. And when he went over to AEW, oh, he's part of that tag team that was so great in WWE. They didn't recognize the individual talent that he had because a lot of those creative ideas that they did, whether it was the TLC matches, the tag matches that he had with Edge and Christian, all those feuds that they had throughout the years, Christian had a lot of input into those, mm-hmm. into how the match was going to be laid out, his psychology. When they were heels, he knew exactly what to do, what buttons to push. He's got it all, you know what I mean? And this is what we got to see in AEW. He got to be that guy, the locker room veteran who says, okay, guys, watch how you do it. You want to be a heel? Don't be the cool guy out there that, you know, wants to be, cheered by the fans kind of secretly, so to speak. I'm going to go out there and make everybody hate me and not like me one bit. And he's master at doing it, both in and out of the ring.
Yeah. Obviously, when you go to the TLC days, all six guys put their bodies on the line and created some memorable moments. But I've always been under the belief that Christian, Bubba Ray, and Matt Hardy were kind of the three that would represent their team that kind of really steered the ship of here's what we're going to mm-hmm. do and kind of laying things out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You ref many of those, so you would know. So
yeah, just fly on the wall, brother.
Fly on the wall. All right. Well, again, we will get our official predictions here in just a little bit. Let's keep it moving. Let's go to Malakai Black up against Kyle O'Reilly. Of course, this is Malakai Black ahead of, I believe this is the third match that will be considered in the main events for Sunday. And that is the TNT Championship barbed wire steel cage match against Adam Copeland. So Black that doesn't handle Kyle O'Reilly. There's some competitiveness to this match. Black gets the win, as he should. Then post-match, some weird red lights flickering on and off, this and that. And then we get a big old dropping, a brood-like moment of blood or a substance supposed to be like it, a blood that just comes gushing down and just pelting Black. It looked painful to watch this stuff fall at the rate that it did. Like, holy hell to the prop guy. So Black is now covered in red, and then we see Adam Copeland on the screen, kind of a maniacal laugh, saying, "Be careful what you wish for." Jimmy, do we see Adam Copeland do a Brood-style entrance with Gangrel? He's talked about how he wanted Gangrel in WWE mm-hmm. in his last run, and that didn't happen. Surely Tony Khan will write a check for Gangrel to be in Vegas on a Sunday night, banging and fanging.
Why not? And make it just to keep it under everybody's hat. Don't let it get out. I know people, fantasy book it and say, hey, wouldn't it be cool? Yeah, it would be absolutely cool. Tony, write the check. Do it right now. it just makes absolute perfect sense. And also write Taz a check for a new sport jacket too. So. But man, I like the delivery from Edge. Again, simple, get to the point. That kind of like sinister laugh that he had was kind of reminiscent of the old Brood days. Mm-hmm. But that bloodbath, like you said, my goodness, I've seen bloodbaths up close and personal before, and I've never seen anything pour into the ring like that. I'm surprised he was still standing. He was able to stand while it was coming down. That was incredible.
Yeah, Flobo, this was post-match beatdown number four, but as a creative looking one. Shout out to the all the texts and people that had to clean this up
right
after the facking and replace the mat.
Show us how old we've gotten, because back 20 years ago, like, oh, that's cool. And now we're like, oh man, that poor PA has to clean it up. I have one gripe here. It was perfect segment. Mm-hmm. One gripe. If I had the book, which I don't, this is why I could run a company into the ground. But I would love to have the red lights cost Malakai the match, and then get the Malakai, you get what you wish for, then the blood, because he already won the match, and in theory he didn't have to stay there. He could just like left. You know what I mean? His job was done. So that was kind of weird. But that said, that bloodbath was amazing. It looked like cranberry sauce, like super thick and sticky. It was great.
There was like lumps in it. It looked like the Thanksgiving table. Mom made a lot of cranberry sauce. You're right.
It looked like a blood clot bath.
Yeah. Right. Super gross. Yeah.
Oh, I know, dude. Oh, just to peel back the curtain a little bit. When we used to do the bloodbath there, you know how we took care of it was they had more than one canvas down.
Yeah.
On the ring, and there was a layer of plastic in between so it wouldn't seep through. And it was just, you had to, you know how you got that thing up? Because it was tied down to the frame. You just had to be careful as we, as everybody went by with a, with a, with a zip blade and an X-Acto knife and just had to cut the old canvas off, roll it up, get it the heck out of there as quick as you can during commercial break.
Wow.
Well, it looked dangerous because, like, the next match was the women. And, like, when Saraya and Harley Cameron make their entrance, they go around the floor, the floor close to the hard camera. Like, there should have been one of those yellow stand-up pop-up signs that said, be careful, floor is wet. It looked ridiculous. It looked like the, so you could ice skate on the thing, how wet it was. So they mopping up all that blood. I mean, it was insane. But it was, this was entertaining. And
good for you, Bakersfield. Heck yeah.
Yeah. There for Bakersfield. It's a souvenir for everybody in the front row. Get a little bit of a cranberry sauce red dye on your clothes to take away. All right. Up next, we get to some women's tag team action. We get Mariah May and Toni Storm. Toni Storm, probably my favorite to watch in AEW at the moment. Up against Saraya and Harley Cameron. This is a Toni Storm pinfall, as it should be. Post-match attack number 5. Serena Deeb comes in and attacks Toni Storm, of course, ahead of their AEW Women's Championship match. And, of course, revenge for Toni Storm doing a little strip tease behind the Serena Deeb dojo flag last Saturday. Jimmy, thoughts on the match, thoughts on the build here of Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb?
Well, I'm riding your wave there, Justin. I do like Toni Storm. I think she's got it all. She's tremendous. She's resonating with the audience. They're cheering even when they had the exchange back and forth.
Quick
they
note,
were yay booing.
Quick note to that. Tonight, yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat.
Never wrong.
I think it was the first time that I noticed this tonight. Toni Storm came out of the babyface tunnel.
Ah, good eye.
On Saturday, because I watched Saturday in Collision, when she did the strip tease and then she got chased by Deeb, she went back through the tunnel she came out, which was the heel tunnel. So I don't know if she's officially switch locker rooms, so now she's in the good guy locker room, but that's what I think happened.
But to the crowd, she is a baby face because they got the yay boo reaction and Toni was getting the yay. So they are climbing on board. So there's something there where she can end up being a really, really big baby face in the future. It's there. It's right in front of them. So it's just a matter of when do you pull the trigger? When is the right time? That's the hard part where you got to judge it.
Flobo, so we have, you know, our AEW International Champion is Roderick Strong. Our TNT Champion is Adam Copeland. Our TBS Champion is Willa Nightingale. Our World Champion is Swerve. Our FTW, I don't really even acknowledge that, but it is what it is. It's Jericho. And then you have Timeless Toni Storm, who is the AEW Women's World Champion. Does she have the most momentum and stroke right now of all the world champions, at least from a TV perspective?
Right. The short answer is yes. The long answer is if you are, I always say wrestling's a product for the advertisers, right? Like it's a variety show. If I'm Procter & Gamble, if I'm UPS, if I'm Limu, Emu, and or Doug, right? Toni Storm and Doug. Toni Storm is such a character that's easy to explain. Here is somebody who's walked off the pages of TCM, super glam and black and white. And that to me is worth his weight in gold. The fans are behind her. It's a unique character for her and it fits her moveset. That right there is money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. She just continues to entertain. I could go on and on about her, but she seems like she has like the most momentum, you know, which is wild because again, going back to my conversation a minute ago about, you know, WWE talent coming over and Christian and this and that, you know, she came over and, you know, she was there with Saraya and she was there with Ruby Riott, again, both WWE, and Saraya's kind of just, you know, she just kind of flounders. Ruby's, you know, congrats to Ruby. She's off on maternity leave right now. But even prior though, there wasn't a lot of momentum or anything. Mm-hmm. Toni Storm, I thought she maybe had the least of the interest of those three when they came over. Saraya obviously dominating given what she'd accomplished in WWE, but Toni Storm has just, she has found this timeless gimmick and she's just took this ball and ran with it. It's insane.
It's the epitome of finding something and going with it and putting your heart and soul into it and making it work, chasing that.
You know, and it's character work, right? Yeah. You know, we talked about this earlier with the Danhausen thing about how, you know, do they just prioritize and just prefer you to be more of a 5-star banger than having any kind of character? You know, like I say this about Toni Storm and I say this, I think this is like across the board. You know, Jimmy, you know this, I always go on about the airport test and this and that. Mm-hmm. I think also another test that you can apply is the Halloween costume. If you can see a wrestling
talent.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
If you can dress, act, talk, walk, whatever, like them, and you can go into a wrestling Halloween costume party and I can immediately know who you are, that's a success for that character. They're not generic. They don't have generic look. They don't have generic music. They don't have generic promos. If they stand out in any which thing, which Toni Storm clearly, if a woman or a good cross-dressing man wanted to go to a wrestling Halloween party, you can very distinctly be identified as Toni Storm. That's a success.
I got my LA Knight cosplay on deck. Yeah, for the same reasons.
Tremendous. Yeah, it's, but again, really not to harp on this, but like you said, Justin, it's the old adage, and I keep saying this all the time, here's where you make your money. This is where you make your money. You can do all the twisting, burning 450 hammer Phoenix splashes in the world and look pretty and go viral for 5 minutes, but that's it. People remember this more. They get invested in characters. They don't get invested in movesets.
No, you're right. For mass appeal, at least, that's the way to go. All right, we got our main event of the night, and that is Bryan Danielson going up against the giant that is Satnam Singh, who is 1-0 in his singles record in AEW.
Which is crazy. I put my whole rent check on Satnam Singh tonight.
Undefeated. Undefeated.
Yeah. Undefeated.
That parlay is going to hit hard.
Yeah. This match is going to be a DQ with, it looks like Danielson's got Singh locked up. And then here comes Sonya Dutt and Jeff Jarrett. They attack. Post-match beatdown number 6. Young Bucks come in. They appear. They join in the fun. Okada and Jack Perry come in. They join in the fun. Singh, Sonya, and Jarrett exit stage left. So now it is just our elite members who are going to be in the Anarchy in the Arena match. They are beating down on Bryan Danielson. And then all of a sudden we go to the parking lot and Tony Khan comes pulling up. He's dropped off Darby Allin. He has gotten Darby into the building, gives Darby a little fist bump. And Darby, it comes locked and loaded with a flamethrower, boys and girls. So it is Darby Allin with a flamethrower and Bryan Danielson, who's the American Dragon. And they are fending off all of the elite here. Flobo, thoughts to the execution? Obviously, you know, it's that whole thing. Oh, Darby's banned, Darby's banned, Darby's banned. You know, you're waiting for Darby. So I did not have in my prediction that Tony would be the one that drives him in. I thought that was kind of a cool touch. First time we've seen Tony since he got injured at Daly's Place. Overall, thoughts on the execution of the final minutes of what we're seeing before Double or Nothing?
Okay, well, can I talk about the match first? Or should I just go right to the final
minutes? This is one third your podcast. You do what you want
to
do.
Yeah. In that case, let me go to business myself, brother. Shout out to that table that collapsed on its own. No, but I was watching Satnam Singh walks out to the ring, and I go, you know, if Satnam was in a promotion, and not knocking AEW, but if it was in a promotion that like prioritized promos in packages like MLW or Impact or NXT, one in a billion would print money hand over fist. That is amazing. And it's kind of like something under the rug, which is kind of unfortunate for Satnam, but he did himself pretty well. But to answer your question, yeah, that logically ending makes no sense. Why would Tony Khan empower one of his employees to hurt his other employees with fire? But who cares, man? That was awesome.
Jimmy, thoughts on the execution here?
I thought it was certainly different, that's for sure. What I would have liked to have seen, yes, okay, Tony Khan, he chauffeurs Darby Allin back. Maybe he pulls up, gets out of the car, opens the back door almost like a chauffeur, escorting him out, then handing him the flamethrower going, as you were, sir, you know, kind of giving him the good graces. Go ahead, do what you got to do. And even a quick shot of, you know, him entering the facility with some security guards there. And there's where he shoots up, you know, the flames come out and they just back off. Something, let's see a little bit, because we saw that one shot where earlier in the night where Swerve chased Christian out to the parking lot. That was kind of like a continuous shot all the way through. Mm-hmm. Why not follow him all the way in? But we had to keep going back and forth and getting the, oh my God, look from the Bucks and stuff like that. Was that necessary? No, maybe took a little bit too much time for him to get from the parking lot. I guess it's a long way in Bakersfield in that building, but still, just little things that they could have done to make it, you know, speed up the process, so to speak. But it served its purpose. Did I miss something tonight? Did they announce something about FTR not being there?
So I was getting ready to bring that up. The commentary did acknowledge FTR is not in Bakersfield tonight. Mm-hmm, right. I don't know if I caught why. But yes, when you watch this go down, I mean, I guess this gives justification of why Darby had to bring a weapon of mass destruction because they're down by two bodies. Like, so both like you're this is we're this is your go home show. I know we have Rampage and Collision, and I enjoy Collision. I always end up using a match from Collision on my match of the week on Busted Open. It's a nice bell to bell wrestling show.
Absolutely.
But for all intents and purposes, this is what counts tonight. Anybody else who you're going to convince to spend $50 to buy Double or Nothing, it's going to be based on what you do tonight. Bottom line, that's a reality check. It's a throwback to Cherish out there. That's a reality check. And so you're gonna end Double or Nothing with this anarchy in the arena, I assume.
Right.
How do you not have half of the good guy team there? And the fact that both of them couldn't be there. Like, I mean, they can't be injured because they're wrestling Sunday. I know Cash just had a court date, and I think he got dismissed of things, and good on him, good on his lawyer. Like, both of them looked at their calendars and said, nope, neither of us can make it to Bakersfield 5 days before the pay-per-view. What?
The roads aren't maintained well, apparently.
I guess not.
What?
That just makes no logical sense to me. There's no, and they didn't give us reasons. At least give us a reason.
Yeah, right. The shoot something a week. The last time they're at TV, shoot something. If you know they're not going to be able to be at TV tonight on May 22nd, shoot something where they get attacked and injured, and they're on the show. They're not going to be able to make it to Bakersfield tonight, but we're going to make sure we get a medically cleared in time for Vegas or something. Like, AEW is under attack from the evil EVPs. We have to prop up the entire company and save the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bryan Danielson saving the company, you know, while he's on his third wrestling life. Darby went through a pane of glass, got hit by a bus, but he's back. But what the hell happened to FTR? They couldn't get out of North Carolina to be at Dynamite tonight.
Yeah, their flight was delayed or something. I don't know.
Well, I want to say, if there's ever a bounty out for me being beat up, guys, I want you guys to be there, please. They'll be like, you got this, right? You're fine.
But yeah, that one's a weird one for.
I know people were expecting FTR, I guess, or somebody to come in and make the save. Of course, Darby came in and made the save. But you're telling me that there's an entire locker room full of people that are watching Daniel Bryan against seven guys, and nobody lifts a finger to.
That's the thing. The four babyface team of Danielson, Darby, and FTR. Only two of them are there tonight. So what do? They have all four of their opponents in the Bucks, Okada, and Jack Perry, plus another heel faction in Sonya, Jarrett, Satnam. Like, let's really highlight the numbers game here tonight. Good Lord.
Yeah. You think it pays off? You think Brian's ever going to be like, where are you guys, to FTR? Or no? You think it's going to be like a...
No, I I'd love to know. I guess this is where we should dial up Matt Kuhn. I know Matt's like the FTR... He's our quick line to FTR. Matt, tell us where the hell Dax was tonight. Good Lord. All right, so that was Dynamite tonight. Any final thoughts on Dynamite? Or you guys want to jump into predictions for Double or Nothing?
Go ahead. No, Flobo.
No. You're Jim Corderas, of course.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm giving you the floor.
I like today's episode. I know we talked about we had to go in detail. If anything, the sequencing was kind of weird. I thought some matches could have been later, some could have been earlier. Maybe give us a second women's match because you had so many bodies, but maybe that's asking for too much. But the show itself was fine. 2 hours of good things. It pains me that Collision tends to still be a moving target on days now. So I can't even say we could roll into Collision and get some nice little pre-senses now. But this week, I'm on board to see what Double Eleven has to offer. And it was confirmed. That's basically the Starcade of AEW. So I'm in.
Jimmy, thoughts on tonight's Dynamite?
No, I thought that a lot of stuff was fine. It just, for me, it's the pacing of the show and how it's laid out. I have a problem with it because they don't let... It's my biggest problem I have almost every week. They don't let things breathe. They don't let the audiences absorb what's going on. They have a big angle shot. Next thing you know, right into the promo, right into the next match, you know, and then here we go. We have a commercial picture in picture. It drives me nuts.
It's cardboard.
You know, just when something big happens, lay out, go to commercial. Oh, we'll be right back. Hopefully we can contain what's going on, or we'll get the, we'll get the medical update on so-and-so or whatever the case may be. Just let things breathe. So when people, go to commercial break, they can go, okay, give me a second. I want to wait and see what happens next, instead of going right to the next thing, because then it becomes forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely, it's always wild to me that they, Dynamite's a 2-hour show, when they promote what's going to be on, when they promote like on social media ahead of time, and then they'll put the graphics of what's going to be. It always amazes me. Like, wow, they managed to get so much into a 2-hour show. And there's some beauty to that of like, wow, like, again, give the audience, their bucks worth of like, no pun intended, of like material and content. But there's also, again, you run the risk of like just overshadowing stuff. So it's a delicate balance that I think they've gotten better. They've gotten better. I think generally, if you look at the last 6 months, they have gotten better at Dynamite, especially the last 6 months. We're in May. Yeah, I'll say since December. Right. Last 6 months, they've gotten better about not cramming 20 and 10, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Tonight maybe a little bit more packed because, again, it's the go home and they decided to have 10 matches on this card. But they have gotten better. I want to acknowledge. I think they have paced better on Dynamite overall. But tonight was very filled with
no. And like you said, understandable with the pay-per-view coming up this weekend. But the other thing that is promoting stuff that's coming up on other shows during matches.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a banger going on right here, but this Saturday at Dynamite on Collision or whatever the case may be, don't do that. In the middle of the Malakai Black, Kyle O'Reilly match, they had an advertisement for Edge's jacket. Just for sale. They had merch advertisement right in the middle of the match. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. I don't want to stir the pot when it comes to personnel, but I do think it's time for a presentation change with the commentary team. Not in a bad way. I'm not saying they're just bad. I feel like a lot of things that you noticed, Jimmy, kind of, I forget about. It kind of washes over because I'm so used to the cadences of what the show is. But you're right. It is kind of surreal in the middle of a fist fight being like, hey, have you checked out these shoes? They're great, right? Young Bucks,
Yeah.
Well, I'll always say, if somebody like this means a ton, but I mean, I did get a degree for it. As somebody with a broadcasting degree, I hate 3-man booths.
Okay.
And not,
you know what? No, it's fine. Just... No, it's fine. It's fine, Jamar. It's fine.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Let me.
Somebody took it personal.
I didn't get to finish my sentence. I hate three man booths for live sports commentary. So pro wrestling, don't like the three. I'm glad WWE went to two. I don't like three for football. I don't for NFL. And when I say three, I mean three in the booth. I don't mind two in the booth and having the sideline reporter down there because the sideline reporter can see and get things that the booth can't. But three people in a booth for the entire show is too much. Mm-hmm. Same with baseball, same with everything. You can have a guest every now and again. If you're going to have the guest or celebrity or whatever, especially like in baseball, you get this a lot.
Right.
But three is too much. And I agree. I think Excalibur, Tony, and Taz, and then when you have Callis on commentary for this match and Jericho's on commentary for this match, mm-hmm. too much. Mm-hmm. Too much.
I agree.
All right, let's do some predictions. Get your pens and paper out, ladies and gentlemen. Make your bets.
Oh, 1 second here, because I got the old list of matches. How many more were added tonight again?
I believe two.
Okay. Officially. Right, just making sure.
I think we have 10 tonight. I think 10 mm-hmm. is where we sit. Again, then we still have collision 10. To go, so we'll see. Yeah. All right, well, I will start with it's right here. I'll start with the two that are added tonight. Let's start with the Bang Bang Gang versus Pocker Pack. Penta and Ray Phoenix. Flobo, who do you got winning this one?
As much as it pains me to say, I do think the Gun Club rolls over this one. They get the dub. I like Death Triangle, and they look good on a poster. They look good on the milk carton. But when it comes to the matches that count, they always come up short.
Jimmy, are the Unified Trio champions retaining their title?
I would like to see a title change here. I really would, because I like the, you know, the... look, Jay White is destined to be a babyface sooner or later. People are on board with him. Again, they're liking what he's doing. So maybe he's one who costs the championship or if one of the other guys. I'm going to go with Pac and crew.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say Jay White and the Guns retain. I don't mm-hmm. see a title change happen here. Again, it goes against my appreciation for Penta, but I'm going to say that they hold on to this. All right, FTW World Championship, Jericho versus Shibata versus Hook. Jimmy, do we get a title change? Does Jericho drop this FTW title?
No, I don't think so. I think Big Bill is going to help him retain, and the learning tree continues to rule.
Flobo, do you agree?
With the man himself, this thing only works if FTW Championship does not change hands.
I agree with that, and I think Jericho pins Shibata. I think Hook will be spared. I don't think we've seen the last of Hook. I still actually think, too, we'll get Taz a little involved. I know physically he's limited, but I still feel like it's his title. It's his son. He's sitting at ringside.
For the world.
This it's kind of awkward if he doesn't do something eventually here. It's kind of like, do you care about your kid? You're the one that got him into this. Mm-hmm. All right, Orange Cassidy versus Trent Beretta. Once best friends, no more. Flobo.
As much as I want Trent Beretta's time in the sun, it has to be Elvis Orange Cassidy. He's going to open the whole pay-per-view. He opens up every episode of Dynamite.
Jimmy, I got Orange Cassidy here. You?
Both of you, I'm going off the board. I'm going Trent Beretta because I like where he's going. I like the direction he's taking. He's showing something that really resonates in a heel fashion, and I like that. And Orange Cassidy doesn't need the dub. He's over. He doesn't need it. Continue this. Don't blow this feud off yet.
All right. The IWGP World Heavyweight Championship Eliminator match. So a match to beat the champion to then later take on the champion. Champion John Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita.
What? Jimmy. What? Why?
I was looking at my note. What did you do? I was looking at my notes.
Jimmy was like, this match.
No, it's not the match itself. I'm looking forward to the match. It's just that you have to beat the champion to get a shot at the champion.
Yeah,
that just makes no sense to me. I hate non-title matches, and I hate matches where the stipulation. It just drives me insane. It makes no sense to me.
So who's winning? Who's winning?
What?
Who's winning?
Hopefully Mox.
So Takeshita doesn't even get a shot later on?
No. Well, in that case, if you're going to have that stipulation added to it, then you know, you can have – yeah. Okay, you changed my mind. Because Takeshita, because he doesn't lose the title. So in that
right.
case,
yeah. Yeah, right. So but my thought, Flobo, tell me if you agree, is Moxley can lose this match. Mm-hmm. And you have Don Callis out there, so you can have funny business. Moxley can lose this match, but he doesn't lose the title. And obviously, it's a New Japan title, so New Japan obviously is going to have input on the finish to this. Moxley can lose a match, doesn't lose the title. I don't think they would have this match if they didn't plan on having Takeshita challenge for this title later on. And then it might happen on New Japan time, might not happen on AEW show, but it's like, why have this? Again, you already have enough going on. Why have this match? And if it's, if, unless you are trying to position Takeshita, and maybe Takeshita challenges again, like they said tonight, for the title, but it's against somebody other than Moxley, you know, 6 months down the road.
Yeah, 1,000%. This is a match for Moxley to lose to say, we're going to give you your receipt over in Japan. Oh, so I have Moxley losing. Oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah, sorry. So I think, all right, then I think we convinced Jimmy. So we're all going to
go. You guys convinced me.
Very good. All right, AEW International Championship match. Roderick Strong holding that title up against the golden boy, the golden signing of AEW, Will Ospreay. I will start this one and just say this just feels tailor-made for Will Ospreay to collect the first of what will probably be many titles in AEW. Flobo.
Arguably my favorite looking title in all of AEW. Yeah, I'm going to go for that one. Ospreay has to win this one for sure.
Jimmy, any chance Roderick Strong, and he has the numbers, he has the undisputed era, any chance Roderick Strong holds on to this?
I can't see Will Ospreay not winning this. It's the thing. And it's going to be a hell of a match because Roderick Strong is really showing that he belongs in the ring and he can go with someone like a Will Ospreay. And he's got that it factor, and it's no disrespect to him, but at this point, he's not that high up on the ladder for Will Ospreay to eat a loss here. Will Ospreay, when he eventually gets that L, it has to be a big, big deal.
You know what I feel like with Will Ospreay? Excuse me. I feel like Will Ospreay, I think he's going to take this title, this international title, Sunday. I feel like he's going to go on a run where he's going to have this title, he's going to defend it, and et cetera, et cetera. And then he's going to go after either the TNT title or the AEW world title. Like, I feel like he's going to become like a belt collector. I feel like they're going to try to like make this the year of Ospreay in AEW.
Interesting.
I have that feeling that Tony's just getting ready for Will Ospreay to be decorated in gold.
So no unifications. We'll never want to get one of those. But
no unification. No, I feel like he's going to be holding this international title, and we've seen the international title. They'll let that be defended else places. So he'll pop up somewhere else and defend that. But I could see him by Wembley. He's British, correct? He's from London, right? I could see him being in Wembley challenging whoever's the AEW World Champion by that point.
Yeah. Barry Lindstorm.
Hey, holding several titles is a hell of a grind.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, look at the you, boss's man. Daughter.
Oh, don't get me started on that. All right. AEW Women's World Championship match, champion Timeless Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb. Jimmy, any chance Serena Deeb dethrones Toni Storm, or is it, well, how's it go? Chins, tits. What is it? I forget what it is. Whatever. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's chins, tits, and something.
There's always a chance, but I pray that it's not. I'm pulling for Toni Storm. I'm actually rooting that she retains.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, you know what? In that case, I got Serena D by small package, just to spite you.
By small package.
Just to do it.
What a slap to Jimmy's fandom.
No, look, I like Serena Deeb.
Serena Deeb hasn't done a small package as OVW, and Flobo's got her dethroned right into champion just to screw with Jimmy.
That's what I'm talking about. I just imagine Toni Storm should win this one, but I imagine her being disgraced or besmirched or being like, oh no, I lost my gold. I see that happening in the next chapter for Toni.
Sonny in the chat says Britt Baker returns to help Serena.
Oh,
I don't see why she would help Serena, but I think there would be a lot more money and she resurfaces and makes known to Toni, hey, I'm back and I'm coming for you. Or there's another women's match. Maybe she resurfaces there. Let's go to that one. TBS championship match. Willow Nightingale, your champion. Who I liken to kind of like a Mick Foley in a sense of like the organic aspect that she's just kind of came a little bit out of nowhere and has got the admiration of the fans, got the appreciation, but she's also showed that she can kick it into a gear. She can get serious when it's time to get serious up against the big investment, the new signee, having her first match in AEW after 2 months of being on TV. Mercedes Moné. Now, Flobo, I'm going to go to you first because you kind of tease it. You want to talk about this a little bit, and I feel like you and I are on the same wavelength, but I want to let you speak first. Thoughts on Mercedes, thoughts on the build, prediction on the finish.
I don't knock AEW signing Mercedes, the hottest women's free agent for a long time, WrestleMania main eventer, has all the accolades. But once she got signed to AEW, and I'm not blaming AEW, I'm not blaming Mercedes, I'm just blaming the mixture and the pot. It didn't hit quite the same. I'm not really sure what CEO means in this context. I felt there was a bit of a time where it was kind of like, I'm the CEO. But at the same time, Will Nightingale was somebody who was always in the background, always having these matches, doing these 3-minute, 9:30 p.m. matches, doing collisions, doing rampages. And she finally got a microphone and said, look, I've been grinding for my division. You're telling me that I have an opportunity to be your torchbearer. I'm already on board. Now, Mercedes Moné has an opportunity to really sway it the other way, but I don't see it, man. These promos are just on point for Willow Nightingale.
Flavio, let me stick with you here for a second. Because I'm of the belief that I understood they tried to make a big deal about her in Boston, but it's not like Mercedes Moné, the person or the character, is that connect. Like, she's from Boston. She came up in the New England indie scene. It's not like she's CM Punk with Chicago, where CM Punk, where CM stands for Chicago Made, and he wears the Chicago flag on the trunks. You know, it's not, I didn't feel, if she wasn't cleared, I didn't feel that it was worth putting her on TV, announcing that she's with AEW in March, and then having her be on TV for 2 months to build this first match. I felt like this has not done her any favors. And I also feel like it's deviated from what we saw of success with her as Sasha Banks, which is, Cut a promo for 2 or 3 weeks. Then she delivers in a match and shows you why she's one of the best women in the world.
Absolutely.
This has been cut the same promo for 2 months. Oh, by the way, cut the same promo against 2 months. Not against some whomever, against a organic rising baby face in Willow. Yeah. So it's like, I don't think this has done any favors to Mercedes Moné. I feel like there is a crazy high expectation that she's going to have to hit to kind of do away with the last 2 months.
Yeah, I'm with you. And this is what happens to a lot of bookers in wrestling. And again, I have very small experience working in professional wrestling on the creative side, but you have something that works like gangbusters and you want to revive it. So CM Punk, perfect example. He was a pariah. He was out in wrestling for 6 or 7 years, Chicago Made. He comes back, it works. You do the same thing in Boston, doesn't quite hit the same. But the thing about Sasha Banks in WWE was, when the bell rang, she could go. And you did not give it to us, whether by injury or by time. There was never an opportunity to see 10 or 15 or 20 minutes of her in the ring. So you basically have to go on memory from another promotion or two that to really graft into this one, whereas Willow has been working every other week. So it's not really a fair build. And to give it to her all the credit in the world, Willow Nightingale's promo skills have increased tenfold. I got to give it to her, man.
Yeah.
All right, so real quick, Flavo, final call. Willow or Mercedes, who's winning?
Mercedes has to win this one, but it's going to hurt my heart, man.
Okay. Jimmy, having heard all that we just said, where do you stand with this match and particularly Mercedes Moné, this being her first match?
I agree with you guys. I think at this point she is destined to win this championship, but at the same time, like you guys said, Willow has this organic likability. And she's showing that, and the fans have gravitated towards her. It's sad because here's someone again who has put in the time and put in the reps and developed herself, made herself that person that the fans are loving and enjoying right now. So it's kind of sad. I'm almost sad to say that I think that Mercedes is coming out with a championship because I'm, again, no disrespect to her, but I'm disappointed with how she's been presented and how she is coming across because she doesn't feel organic even when she's on the mic.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel bad for the expectation that has been put in this match because I feel like this could be a make or break with emphasis on break. If this match doesn't just if this isn't again the match of the night to the fan like this I don't know. I feel like this has just been a weird build. I don't understand. I don't understand why it's been this way, but I think Mercedes also will win, needs to win. Hopefully Willow won't be pushed to the back of the line. I don't believe in the sports aspect of it where it's like the standings aspect where it's okay if you lose, you're back of the line. No, if you're over, you're over, you stay on TV. I'm not saying she needs to challenge Mercedes for the next couple pay-per-views for the title, but she needs to stay on TV if she's over. AEW's had a consistent problem across the board of following through with baby faces. The baby face they follow through the most with is MJF, and he wasn't even supposed to be a baby face. So figure that the F out. So don't
don't victimize Willow here. If she's going to lose, she's going to lose because Mercedes is your multi-million dollar investment. I get it. Don't push Willow to the back of the line.
Right.
Don't do it. All right. Let's get into what I believe now. It leaves our three, I believe the three main events that they are advertising here. So let's go to the TNT Championship. Barbed wire steel cage match. Champion Adam Copeland up against Malakai Black. Jimmy, I'll toss to you first as the Canadian, and considering Adam Copeland wrote the foreword of your book, I feel like that gives you right away to talk first on this one. What's going to happen?
This one is a tough one for me to because I like where Malakai Black is coming from. I like his presentation, his character. I've always said he had that aspect of it and could go far with that. And maybe it's time for no disrespect to my good buddy, my long time close personal friend, Adam Copeland, aka Edge. But I'm going to go Malakai Black with this one. He's going to take Edge and he's going to take him to that dark place that he used to be in. Unless we talked about Gangrel earlier, that would be a nice touch to it. But what if Gangrel were to come back and look like he's reuniting with Edge and he were to be the dagger in the back of Adam Copeland?
All right, Flobo, what are your thoughts to that one?
Does Gangrel have his rights or is he Vampire Warrior still? That's not the point. I'm a big Adam Copeland hater because he's blocked me on Twitter, so I'm going Malakai Black as well.
What did you say on Twitter?
I have no idea. One day I looked and he wasn't there and he blocked me. I have no idea. So,
all right. Yeah, so I'm not blocked by this person, but I'll give you a fun story because we mentioned about him earlier. So I'll, if Flobo's willing to say that, I'll give you a fun story. So probably I would imagine back in the early days of Chairshot Rally, probably in 2009 or 2010, when Christian was in WWE and he was like world heavyweight champion for a bit or this and that, he's fighting Randy Orton. I always thought, I'm like, this just doesn't feel. Again, maybe it's because he's been such elevated as when he was Edge and Christian. That was the big time. And him as a singles guy, I didn't buy into it. I didn't feel like creative and presentation did him any favors. I don't remember what I said, but I'm sure young and stupid on Chairshot, I'm sure that I was bombastic and tried to make a point across of how I didn't like how it was presented. Fast forward, let's say about 5 years. I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
Hey.
And I'm being paid to do a day before SummerSlam thing for a media entity online. It's basically doing SummerSlam predictions and talk, and it's myself and Christian. We've never met in person up to this point. We show up, we shake hands, we sit down. There's a live audience in this thing. It was done right after Jericho did one of his one-man shows. Mm-hmm. That was the venue. So the audience stuck around to this. We do it, we finish, it's cool. Stop recording. Now they're getting ready to shuffle us over to do photos. As they're shuffling us over, and we just got done doing this wrestling talk for 10 minutes, Christian looks over at me and goes, "So do I still suck?"
And you said,
"Oh wow,
I must have frozen." When, and then he goes and he just smacks me in the shoulder, and goes, "Don't worry, it's cool." And we went over and we did a 5 second pose for the photographers.
Wow.
And we moved on in life and we've been fine since. But it's a lesson to you young podcasters out there from old LaBar.
Old LaBar.
If you're being recorded, they might hear you. Choose your words carefully and they might tell you about it.
Wow. Well, if Copeland's watching this, why'd you block me, man?
Why'd you block him? Here, hold on. Let me tell
you. Yeah, you do that. Like, who's a Flobo? Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say, all right. So Jimmy's going Black, Malakai Black. Flobo, you're going.
Oh, Malakai as well.
Malakai as well, because you're hating on Copeland. I'm going to say Copeland retains this title. I love what Malakai Black is doing, but I feel like Copeland's still Copeland. I also wonder how long is Black sticking around in AEW for, hearing some things floating around there. But I think Copeland retains. I do wonder, though, and we'll get to Christian here in a few moments. I do wonder. I can't imagine Tony Khan would not cash in on this if you had both of them. All right, you had Christian versus Adam Copeland. I'd have to imagine. You got Wembley coming. You got some big shows coming later this year. If you're Tony Khan, you're a fan like Tony Khan is. If you got them both in your roster, you're going to put together Copeland and Christian, right, for one more little run, at least for a big show.
How does that work?
Well, you have to obviously maneuver. Obviously, Christian needs to stop being, you know, a bad guy. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm just – that's something I'm thinking. That's got to happen here. You can't have those two guys on your roster
I agree, but how is it done?
There's a way to do it. I don't know what exactly it is, but we saw Edge and Christian here in my hometown have that all-out brawl, including a hockey brawl in the bench area with the hockey sweaters. We don't call them jerseys; we call them sweaters up here. And hey, maybe they do get together and have some kind of TLC type match one last time. Who knows?
Can I say, Jimmy, I love the fact you're so unapologetically Canadian. We call them sweaters up here. Like, you better back off, Yank. No, I'm just not
cool. Yeah. I mean, they do call them sweaters. Isn't that wrong?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I get it.
Canadians are doing pretty well. Not the Montreal Canadiens, but Canadians in general are doing pretty well in the playoffs.
Well, not the Maple Leafs either, but that's it.
No, but hey, out west in Western Canada, things are going pretty well. Mm-hmm. First time in a long time. All right, AEW World Championship. Swerve Strickland up against the aforementioned Christian Cage. Flobo, we've all agreed Swerve has not been booked the best. Is he going to get the win here?
I won't say he has to because I've been let down before, but I would like him to, and that's my prediction. Swerve does retain here because even though I love Christian, I profuse my love for Christian for the past hour and 15 minutes. He doesn't need that title. He's good as it is right now. Swerve needs some stability in his reign.
Jimmy, do you agree? Swerve needs this win.
He absolutely does because, like we've talked about earlier, the booking that they have for Swerve since he's won the championship has been baffling. So he does need this win, and he has to be convincing with outside interference, whatever the case may be. He's got to overcome it all and just come out victorious.
So that's interesting you mentioned that, Jimmy, because obviously Swerve, he doesn't have, you know, his mogul embassy guys. All he has that we know of is Prince Nana. Mm-hmm. Like, so he's got numbers against him with Christian and with Nick Wayne and Killswitch and Mother Wayne. Mm-hmm. How do you
book this? How does he neutralize all of these factors?
There's a way to do it with, you know, the proverbial referee distractions, whatever the case may be. But when
sorry to cut you off, but I want to ask you, because no. AEW refs, they don't ever like do the whole "you're out of here." They don't ever dismiss anybody. Like,
good point.
No, and it happens all the time, you know, where they do interfere. It happens far too often because when they do it now, it's comical because, in my opinion, the heat goes to the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go to the heel. It goes to the referees. But there's a way to do it where even when they do distract the referee, he still overcomes that and comes out looking super strong and looking like the guy that could be that champion that they want, the guy that looks like he can carry that title big time. And, you know, especially with you got a guy like Killswitch trying to interfere.
Yeah.
You know, he takes care of business with him, and then he takes out Christian afterwards. Then next Dynamite, next Wednesday, have him come out and just flaunt the fact that he beat three guys. Three guys couldn't take him out. Show me somebody in that locker room who can.
Yeah. Yeah. So out of the three main events, this being one of them, I'll be interested to see how this is booked and goes off, because this is the straight match, because you have the other two, which one we just talked about, the barbed wire steel cage match. So mm-hmm. a very gimmick match there. And then the one we're getting ready to talk about here in a moment, the anarchy in the arena, which is just going to be a giant schmoz across the entire place. So I'll be curious, do they keep this match in the ring with Swerve and Christian? Do they keep it the most traditional, or do we get all kinds of, you know, just bedlam, you know, to finish this? So I'll be really watching this. I'm going to say Swerve as well, both out of what I think is logical. I don't think I can't imagine they're going to have Swerve drop it this. If he beats Samoa Joe, excuse me, for the title, I can't imagine dropping it this quickly. No. If he's not injured, why would you have him drop it? So I'm going to go Swerve, but very curious to how it's going to go off. All right, which brings us to our final match. Anarchy in the Arena, the Elite, which is the Young Bucks, Okada and Jack Perry versus FTR, if they make it, Brian Danielson and Darby Allin. Jimmy Corderas and Tony Khan, I got to imagine, maybe can make an appearance. And this is the fight for the evil EVPs up against people that care the most about AEW and Danielson, FTR, and Darby. What do you got for this? Again, I assume this is what ends the night. I can't imagine they could top this.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because this feud has gone rapidly. They could have stretched this out for months and make this thing really, really mean something. But they're having – it almost feels like a blow-off match. at the end of the feud. And I think that,
and that worries me.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah. You know, because like this, like I said, this thing had legs. It's had legs to go on for a long time. Don't get me wrong. I love the Bucks in this EVP role, and they're telling everybody, hey, play the music. What are you doing? Tuck your shirt in, all that kind of stuff. Like acting, you know, all like snotty bosses, and they're doing a good job at that. Okada, you know, I like the silent type, but at the same time, I don't know if he fits that group anymore. It's almost time for him to move on as well and be the guy, the rainmaker that we saw in Japan. You know?
I agree with that. The problem is, I think they're placeholding Okada in this group, whether he fits or not. They're placeholding him there until Kenny Omega's healthy, because they feel like, okay, that's the natural layup of how we make Okada versus Omega happen. But that might be, you know, months until Kenny, you know, hopefully by good grace is healthy enough.
Yeah,
but you're right. He doesn't really fit this lineup of.
And that's what worries me, that he's going to lose steam with the audience because of it. So, you know, it's dangerous territory, but I could see the EVPs and Okada and Jack Perry prevailing in this one in some form or fashion, regardless if Khan shows up or not.
Flobo, who do you have winning? And in addition to that, is this the end? Like, does Tony Khan, you know, is he standing tall and there's a fireworks and confetti, like, is this like the base of the end, like this hot shot storyline that's got them a lot of attention, mind you, within the wrestling bubble of the world, we're talking about it. Is this the end, or do they find a way to like swerve, bro, and we can extend on through the summer? What do you think's happening here?
Well, I hate the fact you set the table like that, because now you got me doubting myself. Because I was going to say, no, the Elite has to win this one to stretch it out. But pay-per-views are so infrequent on AEW, and there really isn't a stipulation that's more intense than for Blood and Guts.
And real quick, and to your point, the next pay-per-view, I believe, is Forbidden Door, which in my mind evacuates any AEW storyline, because we're just doing dream matches of this person from this person, this company from this company. So it's like you take a month off of storylines, in my opinion.
Yeah, you would have to, like, I don't know. I mean, only Blood and Guts would be even that same realm. But the thing is, to your point, Okada, 5, 6, 7 years ago, he was like a legend. He was a myth. He was like Kenny Omega. He was like Sting. I'm not saying it's been disappointing, but he seems like just a guy. He seems like a heavy. I felt like another era, he would have been the guy that would have matches every 3 months or something. So I think Okada and his crew needs a win so they can have something to make them seem more formidable. But you're right. There is a desert of premium events. So I don't know. I'm like confused now. But you got to say, has to be a new prediction. I'm going to stick with my guns. I'm going to say the Elite win this one.
I'm going to go with it too. I don't know if I actually believe it, but that's what I want to have happen. As I want the Elite, because again, I feel like Jimmy kind of worded it. They're blowing through this so fast. It's like, slow down. This could be 6 months more of programming if you really want to take your time. Like right now, we know the Bucks, Okada, and Perry, you know, they're running things off of the Bucks' power. Like, here's a chance where somebody else could be on the power with them, or I mean, I don't see FTR, Danielson, or Darby, but like, I mean, like somebody who we think's a good guy on Team AEW in the locker room could have been bought and gotten given a fat envelope the way Sonya Dutt was tonight. Like, does MJF reappear? Where does his allegiance stand if he's still under contract with the company? Like, I would like the Elite to win, because I think for AEW's benefit, they have a lot more legs. If the good guys win, if FTR, Danielson, and Darby win, okay, what next? Like, what are you doing?
What if
one of the participants in the match itself is paid off?
Well, that's what I was kind of getting to, but I don't know who that would, like, unless that's explanation of why FTR wasn't there tonight. unless they get a direct deposit of don't show up tonight.
Sorry, we're selling out right now. We can't show up.
Brian Danielson's too noble of a guy, and like Darby comes off as the kind of guy who like doesn't like count money. So I don't think that, you know, I don't know who you'd pay off.
Yeah. Top guys paid.
Top guys paid. Exactly. That would be the way it goes. All right. That that is our AEW Double or Nothing predictions. Write them down, and you can tweet us all on Sunday night and about how wrong we were or how right we were. Just be consistent, okay? Mm-hmm. All right? If you're going to tell me I was wrong on one, make sure you tell me I was right on the other one. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have a profile picture. If you don't have a profile picture, if I can't identify you in a crowd, don't tweet me.
Yeah, and don't.
If I can't point out stupid in a crowd, you don't get a response.
There you go. I like it. And Justin's not afraid to tell anybody when he's woo woo woo.
All right, that's tonight. Again, reminder: we did our predictions tonight. This weekend, Saturday, after King and Queen of the Ring, Flobo Boyce and the immaculate head of hair that is Jack Farmer, they will be hosting a podcast here on Wrestling Inc. And then on Sunday, after Double or Nothing, Jack and Flobo again. So make sure you subscribe to Wrestling Inc. on whatever platform is your preference. Video if you want to see the radio stars. Audio if you just want to hear us. Whatever the situation is, we support it. Just subscribe. Gentlemen, final thoughts, final plugs. Smoke them if you got them. Jimmy, go ahead.
An interesting episode. Again, it was a roller coaster ride, little ups, little downs. But at the end of the day, I'm interested to see what happens on Sunday. And that's the main thing, right? But as far as where you can catch me, you can catch me here with Triple J usually on Monday nights and Wednesday nights here after Dynamite. Enjoyed tonight with you guys. I really had a blast.
It was fun. This is fun.
Yeah. And obviously the Ref It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This week, our guest is my longtime close personal friend, Canadian producer from television, from TSN, Steve Argentero, photographer extraordinaire. We're in Canada, right? Extraordinaire and wrestling historian. He knows his stuff. So he's on this week. We had a great time with that. And of course, my ref and rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms. Just little things I think need tweaking, little critiques here and there, not to break down, but to elevate. And, just having fun there.
Jimmy does his ref and rants, and it's always with a cup of coffee. I have started. I could just I could FaceTime you, but I feel this is fun to do. I want to be part of the audience. I have started watching your ref and rants in the morning when I'm sitting on the back deck with my coffee. Nice. I have started I'm drinking coffee with you in spirit while I'm watching your ref and rants, and it's funny because it's only 1 minute, so you always leave me wanting more, which I know is part of the formula.
Yeah.
And most of the time I watch it and I'm close to damn, I'm just going to call him now. Well, this is a conversation I want to have.
Yeah.
But I'm having my coffee. I let you be.
Not wrong.
You and Aldra are doing your thing. You're having breakfast. You're always cooking stuff and things like that.
We're trying, ref to chef. When now the Ref It Up podcast, I do a little thing. Cordero's karaoke has been the last couple of weeks. And
whoa.
Is it all cool in the gang?
No, that's JK and the Sunshine Band.
JK and the Sunshine. I see what you did there. Flobo.
Yeah.
Plug it up, man.
Well, this weekend we're experimenting with the revival of the premium live events, last pay-per-view wrestling podcast. Let us know what you think about that. If you want to see it, Jack Farmer's going to be taking the lead. I'll be telling him how he's wrong. And if you love NXT, Jack and I, every Wednesday, we do a show called Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com. We treat it as if it's a sport. It's First Take meets NXT reviews.
Nice.
We use the K word over there. But check it out when you have a chance.
Love it. I love it. Awesome. Check that out. That's a great.
Really quick here. Sorry to cut you off there, Justin, but who knows? In a couple of weeks, we may not see that immaculate set of hair on Jack Farmer.
Yeah. Well, you, I'm staying out of this. You two can't keep your bets straight. You, we need to get like a bookie or somebody to like regulate you guys.
What's going on?
That they're sitting here making bets on King and Queen of the Ring, and they're betting. They're betting head of hair, facial hair, pubic hair. I can't keep track. There's a debt sheet out there. They're trying to bring me into my goat. I'm already struggling as is. I don't know what's going on, but I'm staying out of it. You guys.
They want to do hair versus hair, but that's I have to do hair. That's the only place I got it. Yeah.
My bad.
You need your wife to sign off on what hair you put up on stipulation.
Hold on, is she sitting in the room here? Did you sign off on the stash deal? No, she didn't. Oh, there's some heat. Oh boy.
Needs a keeper.
She said you're not gonna lose anyways. Take that, Jack Farmer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. I love Barry Jack. It's great.
Oh boy. Yeah. Craziness here on the wrestling podcast. I'm at Justin LaBar across the socials. You can next engage with me Friday morning, Busted Open, myself, Dave LaGreca, Nick Nemeth, and Thunder Rosa. And then Sunday, all 3 hours, Sunday morning, every single Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, myself and Jonathan Hood. Hosting Busted Open on Sunday, 7 days a week. We are now. So Sunday morning is going to be awesome because we are going to get to react to King and Queen of the Ring.
we're going to do our final preview of Double or Nothing. So it shall be a great time. Again, Busted Open Channel 156, Fight Nation, or the SiriusXM app, or you can get a condensed version on the free podcast. Thank you to both. I love working with both of you. This has been great. Flobo, have a great night. Jimmy, I'll cheers you tomorrow morning over a cup of Joe. To everybody in the chat, we appreciate it. Everybody watching live, we appreciate you staying up with us. If you're watching on the archive, that's great too. If you're listening on the archive, that's great too. Leave a comment. Look, if Meltzer's got his 5-star, at least you could do is leave a 5-star for us, right? Give us the 5-star banger reviews across whatever platform you are on. That's going to do it. It's been good. It's been fun. Wrestling is great. Fan how you're going to fan. Love each other. Be nice. Talk to you next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.